Hi there, and welcome back to the Cory Doctorow podcast. I'm glad and proud to say that I am podcasting for the second time in 2 weeks, two consecutive podcasts in 2 weeks. It's a record for me recently, where I've been very erratic. The big news from last week is that I've actually started work on Little Brother 2, the second book in Little Brother, the sequel. First time I've ever written a sequel. I mentioned that I was thinking about it last week. I've actually started work on it. The sequel right now is called Homeland. I don't know what it'll be called when it's published, but that's what it's called now. And the big news from this week is that today, my second essay collection is out in stores and elsewhere. The essay collection is called Context: Further Selected Essays on Productivity, Creativity, Parenting, and Politics in the 21st Century. And it's available in bookstores and also as a free download, and has over 40 essays. They're CC licensed, as are my other works. The introduction to this volume was written by the estimable Tim O'Reilly. And as with other books, if you know of a librarian or someone who works in a school who would like free copies for their classroom or free copies for their library, have a look at the site. There's an email address that they can write to put their name up for free copies. And then people who want to thank me for giving away the book, buy copies for the people who need them. It's a very good system. Someone called it paying your debts forward in real time. I think that's a very good explanation for it. Today I'm going to read you the first essay from the collection Context. It was originally published in The Guardian. It's called Jack and the Internet Stock: Why the Computer is Not a Scary Monster. And the subtitle that The Guardian put on it is, With a Little Common Sense, Parents Have Nothing to Fear from Letting Young Children Share Their Screen Time. Daddy, I want something on your laptop. These are almost invariably the first words out of my daughter Posey's mouth when she gets up in the morning, generally at 5 a.m. Being a lifelong early riser, I have the morning shift. Being a parent in the 21st century, I worry about my toddler's screen time and struggle with the temptation to let the TV or laptop be my babysitter while I get through my morning email. Being a writer, I yearn to share stories with my two-year-old. I can't claim to have found the answer to all this, but I think we're evolving something that's really working for us. A mix of technology, storytelling, play, and, admittedly, a little electronic babysitting that lets me get to at least some of my email before breakfast time. Since Poe was tiny, she's climbed up on my lap and shared my laptop screen. We long ago ripped all her favorite DVDs. She went through a period at about 16 months when she delighted in putting DVDs shiny side down on the floor, standing on them and skating around, sanding down the surface to a perfectly unreadable fog of micro-scratches. 20-some movies, the whole run of The Muppet Show, some BBC Nature programs. They all fit on a 32-gig SD card, and my wife and I both keep a set on our laptops for emergencies, such as in-flight meltdowns or the occasional restaurant scene. I use a free open-source video player called VLC, which plays practically every format ever invented. You can tell it to eliminate all its user interface, so that it's just a square of movable video. And the GNOME window manager in Linux lets me set that window as always on top. I shrink it down to a postage stamp and slide it into the top right corner of my screen, and that's Posey's bit of my laptop. When she was littler, we'd do this for 10 or 20 minutes every morning while she went from awake to awake enough to play. Now that she's more active, she usually requests something, often something from YouTube. We also download her favorite YouTube clips to our laptops using deturl.com. Or she'll start feeding me keywords to search on, like doggy and bunny, and we'll have a look at what comes up. It's nice sharing my screen with her. She points at things in her video that she likes and asks me about them. Pausable video is great for this. Or I notice stuff I want to point out to her. At the same time, she also looks at my screen, browser windows, email attachments, etc., and asks me about them too. But the fun comes when we incorporate this into our storytelling play. It started with Jack and the Beanstalk. I told her the story one morning while we were on summer vacation. She loved the booming fee, fi, fo, fum, but she was puzzled by unfamiliar ideas like beanstalks, castles, harps, and golden eggs. So I pulled up some images of them using Flickr image search. Later, I found two or three different animated versions of Jack's story on YouTube, including the absolutely smashing Max Fleischer 1933 version. These really interested Posey, especially the differences between all the adaptations. So one evening, we made a Lego beanstalk and had an amazing time running around the house, play-acting Jack and the Beanstalk with various stuffed animals and such as characters. We made a golden egg out of wadded-up aluminum foil, and a harp out of a coat hanger, tape, and string, and chased up and down the stairs bellowing giant noises at one another. Then, we went back to YouTube and watched more harps, made sure to look at the geese the next Saturday at Hackney City Farm, and now every time we serve something small and bean-like with a meal at home, there's inevitably a grabbing up of two or three of them and tossing them out the window while shouting, "Magic beans! Magic beans! You were supposed to sell the cow for money!" Great fun. Every parent I know worries about the instantaneously mesmerizing nature of screens for kids, especially little kids. I've heard experts advise that kids be kept away from screens until the age of 3 or 4, or even later, but that's not very realistic. At least not in our house, where the two adults do a substantial amount of work, socializing, and play from home on laptops or consoles. But the laptop play we've stumbled on feels right. It's not passive, mesmerized, isolated TV watching. Instead, it's a shared experience that involves lots of imagination, physically running around the house, screeching with laughter, no less, and mixing up story worlds, the real world, and play. There are still times when the TV goes on because I need 10 minutes to make the porridge and lay the table for breakfast, and I still stand in faint awe of the screen's capacity to hypnotize my toddler. But I wouldn't trade those howling, hilarious, raucous games that our network use inspires for anything. Well, that's it. You can read the rest of the collection at craphound.com/context. I hope you have a great week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Cory Doctorow Podcast, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike US 3.0. Or as Woody Guthrie put it in another context, this song is copyrighted in the US under Seal of Copyright 154085 for a period of 28 years, and anyone caught singing it without our permission will be a mighty good friend of ourn, because we don't give a dern. Publish it, write it, sing it, swing to it, yodel it, we wrote it, that's all we wanted to do. Many thanks to John Taylor Williams for mastering. That's Ryneck Studio, Ryneck Studio, @gmail.com. John Taylor Williams is a full-time, self-employed audio engineer, producer, composer, and sound designer. In his free time, he makes beer, jewelry, odd musical instruments, and furniture. He likes to meditate, to read, and to cook. Talk to you next week.